is embracing your purpose. And that's what God is trying to do right now. You know, a lot of what is done in the background by chasing after Him, pursuit, opens up the doors and the avenues for things like this to occur, and it's in this atmosphere that God awakens the things that have been dormant in your life. Every person really has a desire to know their purpose. That's every person has it, but some people never find it because they never submit their will to God's. They don't know that His purposes are their purposes. They don't know. While I was away, you know, when you get away, thank God for being able to get away, the Lord started talking to me about my own purpose and how to embrace it once again. And Liberty is an unusual church. It's not the only church that is like it, but it is an unusual church in that it's called to be a prophetic church. And the Lord said, you're trying so hard to love the people as a pastor, which I do love you as a pastor. Goes, but you're not releasing the gift that brought them all together. Not the way you used to. And it was true, and the reason, I could give you all the good reasons in the world, which I tried to explain to him, and he didn't care. But I love everybody so much, I want everybody to get everything. So most of my prophetic words are corporate because I want all of you to receive it instead of personally ministering. Because I don't want one person to leave feeling left out, like they didn't get a word. So I took my gift and I bottled it into Pastorville. But then these kind of things don't occur as much. Because when the word of the Lord is in your mouth, it needs to come out. Sometimes it comes out corporately, and that's okay. But the healing and the direction that God brings when I'm standing as a prophet before someone releasing His truth of His word, it ignites something different in the atmosphere. And I know that everybody has a purpose that God has hand designed for you. The Bible tells us so. Ephesians 2:10 says we are His workmanship. You are His workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that you're going to walk in them. That's how He created you. And there's specific things that God has ordained you to do that only you can do. Because there's some people that only you will interact with. There's some things that God can only trust you with, and it's specialized for every individual. You're just as valuable as the greatest person you've ever heard of, whoever you admired the most. You're just as valuable as them, as great as Moses, as great as Abraham, as great as John, as great as every follower of Jesus. When God spoke to Jeremiah, He said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. God is that specific. It just so happened that he was prophesying this to Jeremiah, and we're happy that he did so. But these words of him forming him in the womb and knowing him before he was born are ours. He, before you knew you, he knew you. Before you were inside your mom, he knew you. And he put greatness and purpose and value on the inside of you. And he's trying to awaken that once again, but our purpose will only be found when we cooperate with his intentions. And just like Jeremiah, like, this is what I know God is doing in our midst. He's stirring up that prophetic gift. He's bringing back to the forefront the very purposes that we exist. And we exist so that people can hear his voice. Liberty exists so that you can sit in his presence and hear him for yourself. We exist because we're called to glorify his name, to be passionate people that won't settle down and be satisfied until God speaks. To be satisfied until everyone knows what their gifts are and walks in them. To stir the atmosphere of heaven and make it collide with earth so that everybody can embrace who they really are. But you can't embrace who you are until you embrace who he is. And Jeremiah's first response is very much like our response. And I think it was prophesied or whatever. God said it before through somebody. And he said, Lord God, I cannot speak, for I am but a youth. Usually what happens when God starts calling to you like he has today, God starts igniting that which he has called you to be and to replicate on the earth. The first thing we do is say we can't. Because all we can see is what we've done that's wrong. All we are aware of is our frailties instead of what his anointing is on our life. His call on our life is higher than our frailties. He won't wait until we're perfect, because we won't be perfect till we see him. But he's calling to you and he's calling to me. There's a cry in the spirit to arise. There's a cry in the spirit to relocate who you're with. The greatest thing that we can do is know that God is with us. God is with you. If God be with you, who can be against you? Is there anything you are incapable of as long as you get out of the way? Our problem is that we don't see our value the way he sees our value. We don't look into his eyes and drink him in. It's a lot of what Danielle was saying and praying ahead of time is that we're so afraid that we're not going to represent him well that we do nothing. But if we step out into something, we find him there. God is with us. And God is for us. And God has ordained us. People are looking for what they think they are supposed to do. They are trying to fit into some kind of mold that the world has created. And the only mold you need to fit into is the one that God has especially designed for you. It's with him that you find his fullness, and then his fullness fills you up and you're satisfied in him. All the dysfunction that's going on in the world and in the body of Christ, and I'm so sad about it. I'm so distraught about the lack of running after him. We need to get back to running after him, running after the things of the Spirit, running after his greatness, running into his glory, partaking of who he is, because there is an excitement that happens. There's a synergy that occurs between heaven and earth, and then the church begins to act and breathe and touch and live and love like him. But not until we're done with all of our mindsets, not until we're done with our demands. Well, I want to go here, or I want to be this, or I want... How about I just want to be? I just want to be whoever God wants me to be. He's not going to leave you disappointed. Quit shoving your agenda in God's face and ask him for his agenda. A lot of us say, well, I'm doing this right, and so isn't that good enough? No. What you've done isn't good enough if what you're doing is not what he asked you to do. You're not at the end of pleasing God. You please him by loving him, by pursuing him, by finding his desires and living them out in your life. There's no end to that, because when you think you're done, he has only just begun. Because he created us to be these hungry people. He created us to be passionate. He created us to be those people that are not going to just figure it out. He created us to always have more to get to run into him and be safe, to run into him and see what he's seeing, to think like he thinks, to respond like he responds, to then come out of a day like today where his presence is tangible and his voice is real. And you see things in the Spirit and you're able to release them. You have absorbed God today more than you even know, because he doesn't waste anything. And then you'll hear yourself say something and you'll wonder where it came from. And it came from sitting in his presence and watching people stir up the gifts. The Bible says to stir up the gifts that are within you. The reason why we stir up our gifts is because they're needed. And when we stir our gifts, other people's gifts get stirred. If we want something to happen differently, we have to become the different people that allow him permission to do whatever he wants. And that is what we will do. His purpose for your life is not just about what God designed sovereignly for you. It's about you engaging with what God said. You can miss it for the rest of your life. You can refuse to align with him, but why would you? You're just missing out on your joy. You're just missing out on the fulfillment of God. And so we're going to cooperate with heaven. We're going to cooperate with the purposes of God. There's such beauty in being excited about someone else. is when someone receives from Him, and I know it. When someone aligns their life with Him, and I see them changing, it's my favorite thing because it's His favorite thing. To see people engage with dance, to see them engage with praise, to see them engage with prophecy, to see them being willing to be teachable and be stretched. What is better than that? And the more that you are excited about someone else's growth and someone else's victory, the more you'll grow and the more you'll have victory in your own life. Someone else has something that they want to share or they want to say today.
The Lord just started speaking to me, and I don't know if it was, I thought it was just for me and my family, but I'm going to share it with you. And it's, well, I'm just going to read it. He said, it's not about you. It's not about what makes you feel good. It's not about what makes you happy or entertains you. It's not about what coincides with your plans. It's all about me. I am King. I am Lord. I am the one who gave my Son for you. I am worthy of all your attention. I am worthy of your praise. You must stop being of a double mind. You can't mix me with your own agenda. The time is now to make a decision to be all out for me. Soon, very soon, a time is coming where you won't have the luxury to make that decision. The time is near. You are fully equipped because I made you. I equipped you. You know where I am. You can't hide. I am pursuing you, so stop running. Stop distracting yourself. Nothing will fill that which only I can fill inside of you. Pursue me, not sometimes, always, in your every thought, in your every action. Don't believe the lie. Don't believe that you can't. In the contrary, I design you for such. You will never be satisfied unless you do. Pursue me. You no longer can depend on others, on others' relationships with me. Being close to them is not going to be the same as being close to me. It will no longer satisfy the need that I have placed inside of you. But don't despise those relationships. I will bring them closer. And I will create synergies that will help accelerate. You just can't depend on them. The initiative, the desire, the actions, the drive, the pursuit must be yours. A decision has to be made by you, now, while you can. I am available. I will work through you. You just must focus. You must focus on me every day, every hour, every minute. Lay down your phone, your entertainment. Lay down your fears, your pain, your doubt. Only I can fill you with the extravagant gifts that I have for you. I am majestic, King, Creator, the origin of it all, and I love you.
It wasn't just a word for Herbert, was it? No. We serve a great big God, and he's so personal with us. And he can be personal corporately, and he can be personal personally. And that's what he wants. Oh, Father God, I just thank you for today, Lord. I thank you that you're realigning things the way you always intended them to be. God, we are not going backwards. We are going forwards because we're embracing what you have called us to do. We are embracing your purpose for us individually and corporately to affect the world, to affect change. Lord, there's nothing that we can't do when we're obedient to you. So, Lord, I thank you for the adjustment in hearts today. I thank you, Lord, for revelation of what we needed to let go of and what we needed to embrace. Lord, I pray that we go displaying you and all of your glory. I thank you, Lord, that you haven't left anyone out. Thanks for that, Lord. Lord, I speak an ignition to every dormant part of what you've called people to do, and I ask God that you realign them and that you give them satisfaction only found in you. Lord, forgive us our frailties, but make us more aware of our purpose so that we can move forward and accomplish that which you have designed for us, Lord. We thank you. Ushers, I just want you to put the offering plate at the front. Because when God is in charge, there should be a wanting to give back to him. When we take up the offering, it should always be that we are doing it in a response to a great big God who has just met with us today. Do you think he met us here today? Amen. Well, that was a very poor response. Okay, thank you. Don't you love how God takes the time to bring value out of every person? Aren't you so thankful for Danielle's humility and for all the prophets that prophesied and for the dancers who danced, and for you that got to be excited? And aren't you happy that I jumped up and down? Aren't you glad that I could dance? Yeah, me too. I know. So Trinda called me, and she said, Pastor Ron! Sounded kind of like that, too. Pastor Ron! I almost called you at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's usually when she does call, actually. And she said, I can see my hand! I said, what? Can you see it now? She goes, I can see it now. I go, okay, Trinda, you need to get up, and you need to jump around, and you need to do a circle dance, and we need to praise God. I'm going to do it at my house. You do it in yours. And she goes, okay, I'm doing it. I go, are you doing it? She goes, yes, this is kind of dangerous, you know. We're dangerous people. Amen. And so I went, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. Can you still see your hand? Still see him? You know why? Because we're in the midst of the final lane of her total restoration. Amen? And we believe that. We have something to be excited about. And that makes me want to preach the rest of my sermon, but I won't. So, in so doing that, however, I knew that God was spinning around also. Oh, if we only could get a better idea of who God is, he is not some boring father that sits on a throne who's trying to judge the world, who's really disturbed and, you know, he's anxious to whack people. He's not. He's compelling you to come into his presence. He's compelling you to come out of the darkness. But he is singing and dancing over you. He is an amazing God. Herbert just said about synergy. Imagine God singing and dancing over you and us singing and dancing over him. Imagine the whirlwind of fire that occurs then on the earth and what is impossible then. But until we get out of ourselves and into his glory and his greatness, that synergy is not going to occur. But it is occurring, and it occurred here today. Because heaven called to earth and we responded. Amen? And we're going to continue to respond. Can I have that commitment? Amen. Amen. So, oh, I promise. So I will fulfill my promise. Okay. Here's what the Bible says. Don't get mad at me. I don't care what political party you belong to. You can't get mad. It's the word of God. Here's the word of God. Pray for those in authority that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So, how many of you know that whoever was the president the last time and the time before that, and however long you've been at liberty, we've always prayed for our president? Well, there has been a call to pray for our president again by Franklin Graham. How many of you appreciate Franklin Graham? Do you know him? He does so much to help people. So he is asking for us to pray for our president and pray for our government because we just came out of Memorial Day. Oh, didn't you love last week? We memorialized Jesus. Good job. Good job. Everybody say, good job, Farrell. That was awesome. So I watched it. I was excited about it. I'm like, oh, you people that don't talk in front of me, you did it for Farrell. All right, then. Okay, I got your number now. So we came out of Memorial Day, and we are so grateful for those who protected and made a way for us to have freedom in this country. And so we live in a country that we should count as valuable, but we should also pray for anybody who is in authority. And so today I promised we would pray, so we're going to pray. So Father God, we just come today, Lord, and we thank you for the safety and of the president and of this nation. Lord, I pray that you would cause prosperity, Lord, in the spiritual realm as well as the natural. Lord, I pray for wisdom on the president, not natural wisdom, Lord, but I ask that you supersede his mind, Lord, and that you bring spiritual insight, God. I pray that the ones that are around him that are speaking truth will be the ones that he listens to. Lord, even in the Bible, you sent prophets and you sent those men of God that you had pre-proposed to be beside them to speak into those that didn't even know you and they obeyed you. Lord, I ask that there would be a kindness released across our nation, that the bitterness would subside, Lord, that there would be reaching across the aisle, Lord, not only in the aisles of our government, Lord, but in the aisles of our churches. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that our president is leading this country. So we do ask for your kindness. We ask for your goodness. We ask for your wisdom. We ask for your protection. We ask for your safety, Lord. We ask that you give him favor with who he needs to have favor with, Lord, in order to accomplish the things that you have on your heart for this nation. Lord, we remind you, Lord, today that we are still the greatest giver into the gospel, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we ask for favor because of that. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the ability to gain wealth so that we can be a blessing to other people in other countries, Lord. We ask that there would stop being bitterness because of it, Lord, but there would be an embracing of the fact, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you have called us to be a people that responds to your heart, Lord, and that we will respond to your heart, Lord. We pray for the nation of Israel. We pray for that relationship, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that if we ever stop praying for Israel, we will be in trouble as a nation. Lord, we declare we are a friend to Israel, but Lord, more than that, we are a friend to you. Lord, in God we trust. It's still on our money. It's still in our White House, and it is still in our mouth. And so, Lord, we put our trust in you. We put our trust in your sovereign will concerning us, Lord. We ask, God, that you would stop the tide of the enemy to give us time, Lord, to reach those that have not heard the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that darkness will never win over light, but that your light is come, but it has come through us. And so, Lord, we thank you that we are awakening to your call. We thank you that the president is awakening to things that he has not awakened to before. We thank you, Lord, Congress is awakening to things they have not awakened to before. That the House of Representatives is awakening to something that is stirring over the White House because people are praying. It has nothing to do with people. It has everything to do with your will. So, Lord, today we agree that your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And we agree as touching these things in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. 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 All right. I guess as we leave, hug each other and give your offering at the front. And know this, I had a good time when I was away. Thank you, Jesus. I think everybody needs to have a vacation, but anyway. and so I got a little bit of rest, and I'm back. And so I love you. But who do you love the most? Yes, and who loves you the most? And who loves them the most? All right, go be the light.